Hello, everyone. How are you?
Hey, hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hello.
We have routed the doppelgangers out of the Zoom call, and we are...
Are you sure?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. 100%. Likely.
Sounds like something a doppelganger would say, Eugenio.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the penultimate episode of season. Wow. Season 9 of Rivals of Waterdeep. That's how you know it's really me, because I can't talk. Or maybe the doppelgangers are just really good at knowing how I speak. Mm-hmm. Since we're running...
Do they have roller skates, though?
Right. Do they have roller skates? Do they have a keytar? Do they have a keytar? That's the important part.
Roller skates right. And a keytar. That's the test.
I'm bad at both. So since we're running a little bit behind, we're just going to jump right into the introductions and sponsors and whooshing. So let's start on my left with Tanya.
Hello, I am your... Okay, am I a broken oath paladin? Am I an oath-breaking paladin? Slash blood hunter, Sleece Astoria. Both Sleece's pronouns and mine are she, her.
Yay, Sharif.
Hey, I'm Sharif. I'll be playing Shaka, Tiefling, Celestial Warlock, both of us, he, him.
Brian.
Hi, Brian, playing Virgil Asimar, Sorcerer. Both our pronouns are he, him.
Eugenio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Eugenio. I'm DM Jazzy Hands, and I am playing Kent, Tiefling, Rogue, and both of our pronouns are he, him.
And Masood.
Hi. It's Masood. I play Gazik Nomrad, Rock Gnome Druid, also Merchant, and both our pronouns are he, him.
And I will be your humble DM for the next two episodes at least, playing all of the NPCs and Dahani, who is somewhere. My pronouns and Dahani's pronouns are she, her, the NPCs vary, he, her, he, him, she, her, they, them, and all neo pronouns in between. That was the fastest we've ever done an introduction, and I'm really proud of us.
Way to go.
Don't spend too much time congratulating ourselves.
Sponsors. Go. Sharif.
Let's congratulate ourselves a little more. While I'm putting up the document. Yeah, so D&D Beyond is a place. We got our digital characters, our sheets, our spells, all that kind of stuff. Make sure to check out dndbeyond.com. If you are in the chat on our live show, Sundays at 12 noon Central, you can be eligible for a giveaway. So be on the lookout for a code in the chat. If you're listening to the VOD or the YouTube or the audio podcast, all that stuff, check us out live. You can get a chance to win some D&D Beyond goodies. Our dice trays and vaults are provided by Wyrmwood, W-Y-R-M-Wood. You can check them out at wyrmwoodgaming.com. And if you use the code Rivals there, you get free domestic shipping. We have a new code for Die Hard Dice. Our code this month is Dahani.
It sure is.
So if you want some cool, awesome dice, go to dieharddice.com and use the code Dahani for 10% off. Also, allegedly, you also get the gift of flight if you use that code as well. So,
whoa.
It's a really cool code.
Wow.
Yeah, cool. Write that down. If you like minis, check out Eldritch Foundry at eldritch-foundry.com. Use the code RivalsDND for 10% off of your order of your minis there. If you just want some general cool swag, some shirts, some mugs, some masks, all that stuff, go to Stormcrow at shop.stormcrow.com. Use the code Rivals for 15% off. And if you want to sound, silky smooth like the Rivals crew, make sure to go to Blue Microphones at crew.bluemic.com/rivals. Make a purchase from that link, and we will get some credit. That's it.
Awesome. Excellent. All right. It is time to get your whooshing mechanisms ready. If you use the code Dahani to get your Die Hard dice, all you have to do is hold the dice in your hands and whoosh, and then that should enable the flight. Don't quote me on that, though. This has not been tested or beta.
As the reference to our legal counsel, please do not quote us on that. Please do not quote us on that.
Really, though, please don't quote us on that.
I'm just going to say, just don't do it.
All right.
Okay. Yes. previously on Rivals of Waterdeep.
Whoosh. Whoosh. Whoosh.
And they fill the chat with his beauty.
Oh, I love it. Oh, it's so good.
It'll never get old.
Nope.
All right. So what happened last week, everybody? I really don't remember.
Okay, so many doppelgangers.
We got us a stretch
emo to start that off.
Yeah. Like, so we started with interrogating Mr. Tallow. Uh-huh. You know, because we saw him morph from a wizard into Mr. Tallow. Things got a little heated. I believe it started off by Salisha stabbing him in the chest after some back and forth.
That was with provocation.
With
provocation, okay. He turned into a version of Solis.
Exactly.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
No jury would convict that straight up.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Officer, he turned into me. I had to kill him.
Well, that makes sense.
It does.
Ran into my
eyes. I mean, that's what these...
Case closed.
That's what these doppelgangers do. So we had a nice little fight. We did defeat and we turned into like a goopy kind of humanoid goopy thing on the ground. Then a bunch of Avowed came by. No, actually he went to scream like before the final blow happened. Yeah. So it kind of got the attention of some Avowed. And they kind of came over. Shaka tried to convince him that, you know, that nothing was going on. They saw through his ruse. And if I remember right, most of the time, Kent was trying to get here. So he was
correct.
He was like coming from
is everybody.
Yeah. He was like coming from his air loot session in the stacks, and basically moving his dash movement like a couple times between rounds. I believe the Avowed then took us to Exaltation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I forgot the name of the person that we met with.
Hmm. We never actually got one.
Yeah, there was no name. We just knew that she was apparently the badass in charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like she invited us to dinner at her in her quarters. Mm-hmm. After kind of giving her like the lowdown of what we've experienced.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
We developed we developed a code after discussing among ourselves and with said nameless person in charge. We developed a code phrase immediately cannot bring up. It was a great phrase. No,
it was don't kill Rin, wasn't it?
It was kill Rin.
Kill Rin.
And then the response was over these edits.
Over
yes.
These edits. Yeah.
That's very key. Yeah. Very key.
K-R-O-T-E. Kill Rin over these edits.
Right.
I
forgot the call and response, but that was the critical part of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the person in Candlekeep was a little bit I'm sorry, what is happening in Candlekeep? Oh, what? And we were concerned about a few people who we had seen and then seen appear without actually walking past. And we were also a little bit concerned about the art, wine, and Marshall session that Dahani is at.
Right.
Because, we I don't want to go in there and see a room full of Dahani. Like, what's up?
Than a room full of Kent.
Virgil's opinion on that is coming around.
Depends on the day.
that is pretty much what happened. You got into an altercation with the supposed Mr. Thane Tallow, who transformed into Solis and was subsequently murdered.
Look, there can be only one.
After some interrogation by some Avowed where they kind of got the gist of what was going on, you went to Exaltation and met with a wonderful woman who has taken your story and has invited you all to dinner.
Can I make a perception check on my walk? Is there a nameplate outside the door? Is there someone who mentions, you must be excited to have dinner with
Like Harpa Hootis Woman.
Yeah. Also that.
At any point.
Sure.
I want to explicitly find if I can figure it out.
Go ahead and make a perception check.
A perception check, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a 19, 14 plus 5.
Yes. In the office, there is a bright, shiny nameplate that reads, I don't have my names with me right now. It reads, her name is Layla.
Layla.
Okay. Layla. L-E-I-L-A. The last name is obscured and lost to civilization.
They're avowed. They do things like that.
Exactly.
DM after my own heart.
Just call her Layla.
And her last name is not going to be given to you, so stop asking.
I was honestly, this morning, I was like, wait. Have I ever heard Kent's last name?
No.
Should I ask?
No.
Does Kent have a last name?
Does?
Yes.
I personally am offended by the question.
We all have last names. Of course we do.
Yes. Somebody, it's a perfectly normal thing to have somewhere.
In your luggage at home.
Yeah. I mean, I've got everyone's a lot of
last there is no name. More luggage at home. All of Kent's luggage is here with us.
That's true.
Are you sure?
I only left behind two or three. Anyway. Doppelgangers.
So
doppelgangers, yes.
We smash cut, as we do when I DM games, to dinner at in this very office. It is a very large office, and there's been a table set up, and you are all around the table, and so is Layla, obscure and lost to civilization. Thank you, Nisembi. With the information that you had given to her, she has also invited Amaya and Mills.
Ooh.
As the ones who, first of all, brought you to Candlekeep, and with Mills' father being the one who is missing, might be a little important. So dinner is being brought out. There are food options available for all walks of life, vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, keto, whatever you're into. Layla says, sit and eat. Let us fill our stomachs before we, get into the particulars of trying to figure out exactly what is going on here.
Thank you.
Of course.
How is the food? Is it like buffet style? Is it like individual plates already set?
It looks like your grandmother's table on Easter Sunday.
Style. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Gazzik immediately sits down, grabs his plate, starts putting things on it, and it's like, hey, Kent, can you pass me that stew? Yeah, no, the third one, all the way down. Yes, all the way down. Thank you.
It was not that big.
No, but I had to make a production out of it, obviously.
Mills and Amaya have been filled in on everything that has happened. Good. So it's kind of somber. Like, you see Mills, like, kind of, she's eating pretty quietly. Like she's lost in thought. And Amaya keeps, like, passing glances at her, like, to, in a, are you okay, kind of approximation.
Mm-hmm.
How
does she seem?
Make an insight check, Kent.
Well. I'm not very good at these. Oh, it's a 10.
To 10.
Other people's feelings? What?
What are those? You're not quite sure. Like, she's definitely quieter than like the last time you saw her, for example.
Okay. Yeah, I think Kent probably is, Eugenio was asking if she is okay. Kent was probably trying to figure out if she's a doppelganger. Which is why he just couldn't quite get all of the signals together.
Gotcha. The jutsus are not there.
Yeah.
Yeah, does anybody make any conversation while dinner is happening?
I mean, I'm just grubbing. I want to talk to Mills. And, like, I want to say, like, you know, I'm sorry for what happened. You must be going through a lot right now.
She has just put some food in her mouth as you say something to her. So she kind of chews it. She chews it a little thoughtfully. And she, when she's finished with it, she looks at you and she's like, well, I mean, this is definitely not being lost in the stacks for a couple days. And we don't know he's...
No, we don't know he's dead. Yes, you can finish that sentence. We don't know. We don't know. He could... Yeah.
But it's still traumatic. Like, it's still a traumatic experience. I just, you know...
That's fair.
I just want to acknowledge that, you know.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I didn't want to say it because I don't think he is, and I'm still not going to say it, so...
We'll bring him back.
With your detective skills, right?
Yes, and also through magic and perhaps intimidation if need be. We're very skilled at what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, like, yeah.
She's looking at you like there's a definite squint, but like there's a little smile on her face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, you guys are still here, so it's mm-hmm. all right. This is, I'm fine with this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and is Dahani at this dinner?
As soon as you say that, the door bursts open, and she walks in.
Nice.
Does hey, she Dahani. Have a wine and or a painting in her hand?
Perhaps both.
Or perhaps she, both.
She yeah. is carrying a rather large, for her size, canvas.
Oh my goodness. Put this on display. Put this on display. How was class?
Well, it was really good. The wine, I'm not a big wine drinker. So I didn't have a lot of that, but they let me paint. I mean, like they had like a thing there where it's like, oh, paint this and then follow all the steps. But I'm like, can I just paint whatever I want to paint? And so then she like, she sets this canvas up on the side of the, like up against the wall before she comes to sit down. And you see that it is like a landscape of Candlekeep itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the view... make a perception check on this painting, anyone who would like to.
Sure.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
Because Salisa's just been sitting there chilling. I'll 16. Make a
okay.
I'll make a check.
15.
21.
Mm-hmm. 9.
Okay. Oh, what'd you get, Kent?
17.
Oh, okay. So Salisa, it's a very gorgeous picture of Candlekeep. Like, everybody else. It's a view from an angle that you cannot get anywhere in Candlekeep.
Awesome.
So she was like, can I just take this canvas and go? And she flew somewhere and was like. Wow.
This is great.
I love that.
Thanks.
I ask Layla, so based on this, could you maybe point out where we think portals are around that we should start investigating or... where we should start at least looking.
Based on Dahani's painting?
Yeah, like using now this as reference. Like, yeah.
Nobody gave us a fold out when right. we got here, right. So sure, this is good.
But, yeah.
It's fair. So she, she has one of the people who's like, there are several avowed, like maybe like three or four avowed around the room. That are just like, you know, they've been informed of the situation and they're here just in case anything goes weird. And she asked one of them to kind of like put it on her desk, like propped up so that you all can kind of see it. And for ease of use. Yeah, it's a view from Candlekeep from directly above it. Let's say that.
Nice.
Huh.
The perspective is brilliant. You can still keep the three. It's very
good. Got the loofah tree and everything. Okay.
Yeah, from pretty above, good. I really was not sure whether or not it was like a sponge or a tree or whatever.
So, no, I like the interpretation. It's good.
Thanks.
So would you like fly up and then look and then fly back down and paint? And then I just want to know the logistics of this. It's impressive.
The process? Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Virgil's just watching the other rivals as she's answering questions because he is still suspicious.
I love you.
So I sketched it first. I went up and I sketched it and then down. Yeah. No, I've got like, she pulls a satchel with her. Like she's always wearing a satchel and she pulls out a little sketch pad of paper. So, I flew up and I sketched it and then I came down and I put the sketch on the canvas and then I just,
Kent is just dazzled by what must have been an incredible display of like manual and flying dexterity, just in awe, very into it.
Wait, you would have to paint with your talons because your arms are flying to keep you up, right? Or
no, she like holds her arms out and then her wings go foof.
Right. Okay.
She is six-limbed.
Six-limbed. Yeah. That's what it was. Okay.
Yes.
That was established, yes.
It was, pretty easy to keep myself hovering while I...
Yeah. That's very impressive, Dahani.
And then Layla goes...
Sorry. Yes.
Always
time for a bit of art appreciation, but go on, Layla.
Well, anyway.
Fair. So, you know what? Fair.
Mm-hmm. We try to, as has been said many times, we definitely try to maintain knowledge of where most of these little pocket demiplanes are across the library. We're currently aware of, six or seven in the big building to the top left that's got two triangles on it. Mm-hmm. We're aware of, I think, five in the shell building.
Oh, wow.
There's at least one in the pirate ship to the bottom left. use your mind pictures, chat.
The thing is, she's not describing shapes. There's literally a pirate ship in the bottom left of this map.
Right. There's a shell. There's like a Nautilus shell on top of one of the buildings.
Absolutely.
And in Exaltation, we have about 10. And then in the Red Dragon skeleton, in the very middle here, that isn't... You have not passed this building, but you see from the top, it looks like a Red Dragon that is curled up asleep in the middle of the library.
Yep.
In the dragon, there is, I think there are about six.
Six?
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's so many.
So you see why it is a little difficult to keep track of all of them.
No, that makes sense. Mills, do you remember, did your father, or what copied your father, did he frequent any of these portals, perchance? Any of these destinations?
He went to the pirate ship a lot. And I think he may have made one trip to the dragon.
Are any of the portals in places that you know he wouldn't have ordinarily gone? For sure. Any in restricted areas that he didn't have access to, or...
Did he go to the restricted section?
To go behind the curtain.
Yeah.
not that I can think of. So before he went off on this most recent excursion, he said that he was looking into the mythal dragons and then, again, he started talking about that one mystery novel that he has apparently read a million times but wanted to read again. I don't know why he just doesn't get it copied. but I guess he thinks that the monks will make a mistake or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But
you have his copy, or did he take that with him?
I know you all, technically, you can go to the place where you turned into a direwolf. That's where it was. Yeah. That was the book you sniffed out to find the doppelganger.
Oh.
Right.
Do we still have that book?
No. You didn't take it from that particular section of the library.
Because they wouldn't let us, I think.
I think
they said we had to keep it there, right?
I remember. Yeah, they won't let us take stuff out.
It was either that or Gosrick was in such a hurry to...
It might have been a little bit of
frenzy. Gosrick,
yeah, chaotic, neutral energy. Mm-hmm. And so I think maybe I like ask Layla, like, is there possible, could we get a runner sent over to grab that book for us?
Sure.
Okay.
She asked one of the avowed in the room to get the name of the book from Mills, and Caldwin and Jamie know what the name of the book is, so you tell them what building that it was in, and off goes the runner.
Great.
But this, Layla says, still does not help us figure out how to find them.
Yeah.
And then what to do about them once we found them.
Is there any, you know, and I assume that we've related everything, including like our trip to Candlekeep, how it was interrupted, the combat, etc. Is there anything relating to interlopers or this phrase knowledge should be free, or perhaps any kind of, any kind of antagonistic feelings about Candlekeep and its protection of knowledge that might lend some insight to what's going on?
She thinks for a second. And she says, not that I can think of. I mean, we don't hoard the knowledge here, right? People can come in and, you know, read to their heart's content, and they are free to peruse the shelves as they like. And if they want copies, like, we have to pay our copy editors and our copiers, and that's what the fees are for,
and yet they can't enter freely.
Like, it seemed like it was secure, like a Maya had to, and like I turned to a Maya and say, didn't you have to talk to some folks at the front for us to even get in? Like, it didn't seem like this was just like an open place for anyone to enter. It is a fortress, it seems like.
And Amaya says, well, yes, I spoke to the monks at the front to let them know that you were with me, essentially. Like, yes, we do check people for malicious intent, which is, and Amaya stops to think for a second. And she says, which isn't necessarily Candlekeep doesn't stop people from seeking otherwise bad knowledge, you know? Like, the Great Library is more interested in preserving the knowledge of the books themselves. Like, if somebody were going to come in and read all about the terrible misgivings of some terrible old king from 500 years ago, we're not going to say, oh no, you can't read that book because you may get the same ideas he did and try to become king and overthrow the Faerun. We don't do that. But
however,
go on.
No one just generally seeking knowledge would be able to get into the city. This is also Brian confirming that, like, you have to have something that they've never seen before to even get in, right?
Yes, something they've never seen before, an updated version of something that may be in the library already. Just okay. Some new piece of knowledge.
That's where Virgil's going with this. Like, yeah. it is not necessarily open access to anyone who may wish, supervised or unsupervised, to peruse this knowledge. There is, unfortunately, a large gate that keeps them out. So when we're attacked and the attackers have a phrase, knowledge should be free, it makes me wonder if perhaps your standards of admittance and acceptance are seen as unnecessarily restrictive, perhaps?
Gosrick just starts slow clapping. Come on, guys. That's I didn't even say anything, and you guys just basically, that's what I've been saying this entire time. Like, yes, this entire system's inherently flawed. Like, guys, come on.
One of the avowed also starts slow clapping. And then once...
But is he clapping because, or is he just confused? He's like, wait, are we doing it?
No.
Are we all clapping now?
No, he was listening to you, Virgil, and then, like, just you were so spirited in your words. And then when Gosrick started slow clapping, he was like, yeah. And then Layla looks at him and he's like, oh, right. I mean, he's got a point though.
So there's a flaw in the system and there's people who want access and they're choosing to do this to get access to it. These doppelgangers are... Our leading theory is we think they're coming in through a portal, right? Because to constantly leave and re-enter seems difficult. And the portals are... There's not a security system for them.
Well, okay. This is an interesting point that I think you may also be a little confused about. They're not portals. They're more like pockets. So like they're more like extra dimensional spaces that are not two ways. I'll say they're not two ways.
There's only one entrance and exit to all of them.
Interesting.
However,
how big is a pocket?
That's a good question. Most of them are large enough to fit vast amounts of knowledge, and like we use them as like extra rooms for library space.
Sure.
Okay.
Could a pocket get a hole in it where it shouldn't have one and then open itself up? Yeah, just, you know, sometimes you, and like Gazer takes out his pocket and shows like a little sewn patch that he had to like put on his own. It's like, you know, you have to, otherwise you get you lose everything on the inside. It goes somewhere and who knows, something could come in.
Both Amaya and Layla, like, they've gone quiet and they're like, we did not think of that. I mean, why would we have thought of that? This is a very new problem that we are having. But I mean, if we lose a demiplane, it's possible.
At this point, we feel confident that the missing person is not on this plane. And I look to Gosrick, right? You were the one that scried. Okay. This is all very interesting, and we should absolutely continue this academic discussion soon. But unfortunately, I don't see any way to locate our missing person aside from just starting a search of these pocket dimensions. Unless anyone else has a more efficient idea, which I don't say this often, I would absolutely push my idea aside for.
No, I think you're right. Maybe wait for this runner to come back with a book to cross-reference, but it likely, and Gazer goes up to the painting and points at the two locations. It's like, it seems like either we split in two or we go check them out collectively starting at one and then going to the other.
I might also ask if there's any record of what copies of the knowledge here have been requested. I know nothing may seem out of ordinary or amiss, but if there are people here who perhaps shouldn't be here, but are getting copies of this knowledge, it might show, it might indicate a pattern.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. You could definitely visit the House of the Binder and find that the scribes of the House of the Binder are the ones who copy all of the information. So if copies are requested, a scribe from the house will do that.
We can cross-reference with the doppelganger that we encountered earlier and see what else had been copied. And see who else is copying perhaps similar texts or volumes.
Yeah, I think we should also, Avowed or someone should study the remains of this doppelganger. Not us. But this is not the first time that this happened. Like, it can't be. There's a vast history, and maybe they can cross-reference that with some...
I'll study it.
Anatomy or books of different beings, and they can get a sense of what's going on here.
Do you specifically ask them, like...
Yeah.
For the avow to do it? I think...
Well, I say someone, but I mentioned the avow because they were already over there.
Right. I mean, I can supervise. Like, I'm fine. But, no, it would be good if I spent some time with... Perhaps figuring out how one to properly lay this thing to rest, whether it's a burial or if it needs to be burned or whatever it is. But two, I don't know if I can find the substance. Maybe I can scribe better because I can see what else has this composition.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to go searching, I can stay back and spend a little time with the avowed figuring things out.
Okay, quick out of character question also, because Lisa said nothing. She's just sitting there with her wine, like,
Yeah.
So quick out of character question. As a blood hunter, can I basically use blood magic to try and track him down?
Let me Google.
It's that plane difference that's so tough.
The whole not, you know, 404 person not found, kind of like, are they like, do the pockets count as extra planar? Oh no.
But the blood hunter is useful because like it might guide you at least to the right plane. It like versus scrying, it's more or less like, hey, is it on this plane? Yes or no?
Interesting.
Blood hunter might I don't know. Well, I don't know how the magic works though.
What order are you? If you don't wanna say it out loud, you can put it in chat.
I was going to be like, order of what?
We just roll for initiative.
I'll have
what
a happened? Hamburger. Wait,
no. No, this is for
I'll
sleep.
Have a large Michael. Can I get a large Michael?
Yes, please, a large Michael. I missed those.
Yeah, make it three.
Oh, my God.
Like, I need my magic.
I will put it in our chat. It took me a minute. I was like, order? I am hungry.
Oh, my.
Okay. Oh, goodness. While you're looking at that, Latia, I think, this whole time, Kent keeps tossing, like, not suspicious of Virgil, but just, like, suspicious and concerned and perhaps slightly paranoid glances over at Virgil as everyone's talking about splitting up and doing this and doing that. And finally, I think I just say, we should probably keep it contained to the runners and those of us in the room, since we still have no clue how many of these things there are, and the last thing we need is for them to find out what we're doing before we're ready.
Okay. Which patron? Yeah. Or have you chosen a patron yet?
I had not picked one.
That's okay!
I love
We'll go with some of the other aspects of the Bloodhunter class.
Yeah.
I was like,
Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry, this is so cool. I'm just like, this is so cool.
Right. I'm gonna say yes. But also, because no one had, because you were just sitting there with your wine, and Gosrick and Kent and Gosrick and Kent and Shaka have been kind of doing this whole little debate. Amaya actually like comes over and sits next to you, and she says, "Look, I am sorry that what was supposed to be a an editorial trip turned into a whatever this is."
Good old-fashioned mystery is what it is.
So if you want to, I mean, this is really not the right place to be talking about this, but if you want to take that manuscript back to Waterdeep with you and just kind of send it back whenever, that's fine.
Oh, I think we're here for this. This is, oh, Virgil. Well, this way, probably.
This entire time, I've just been saying it's like, it's time to go.
This is far more than I expected to happen when I invited you here, so I apologize for that.
You know, I'm kind of used to weird things happening when I travel with these folks. I mean, Shaka clearly has been changed by his travels. It's a whole thing.
No. Shaka just waves.
Yeah, I just wave.
That's what Monark would do. Like, I know you're talking about me. Hey,
right? See what I mean? He lost all sense of discretion.
Yeah, like I wave and you see like a wire.
So are you being serious or not?
So good.
If you're being serious, I'm gonna do a thing.
No, I'm not wired up. I'm not wired up.
I just see like a little trail of energy, like
oh, okay. So what's
my favorite new spell? Detect Narc.
Right? Can you say your name a little bit louder into my chest? Into my chest, please.
I mean, I know you. I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing it right.
Wow. I've been traveling with you for several years.
Clairvoyant, clairaudient spell you're all using up in here.
Wow.
Terrible.
It's at this point that the runner who you who went out to find the book returns with said book, and he hands it over to Layla and goes back to stand at whichever corner of the room he was in. Layla looks it over, and you all have seen it. It's just this book in particular, it's just a mystery novel. it's a historical mystery novel, which is why it was like where it was, because like it takes actual, did I say historical history?
Historical mystery, yes. I think is historical what I heard. Mystery.
I thought it was, yeah. I think, yeah.
No. I my brain backtracked because it was going slower than my mouth was.
It's historical. We got it.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
We all know. We all have favorite historical.
I love historical novels. Fair. But because it is based on actual like historical events that have been kind of like warped into mystery, that's why it was in the particular place that it was.
Right.
She looks it over. She flips through it and. I mean, I've read this. It's a pretty good read.
What's the story about?
Let me rephrase Gazric's question so that secret god behind the screen doesn't explode. Is the story about anything?
How could you?
Is the story? Write a novel for us, Latia. Is there any way that you can think of that the story might be relevant either to Candlekeep's history of disseminating knowledge, or our missing person in particular, or this geographical area?
Who would want
this story? Like, why is this important
for that?
Is yeah. there anything about the tome itself that may have been altered or changed?
Exactly. Oh,
can I hold the book, please? Can I see the book?
Yes. Layla hands over the book to you.
Okay. I want to like spread it out in front of all of us. And okay. I want to run in. What would that be? An intelligence check? I want to see if there's any kind of like ciphers or codes or
is that like investigation?
Or like anything. Or an investigation.
Well, actually, wouldn't it be Arcana though?
Well, yes.
You know what? Okay, so
here's
what we're going to do. You're going to make an investigation check, but use your Arcana modifier.
Mm. Great.
Okay. Eleven.
It looks like... So this book... It's got a, it looks like your stereotypical historical novel. It has, there's a big old castle on the cover of it. It looks dark and foreboding. In the distance behind the castle, you can see there's a dragon that appears to be, yeah, go ahead, Celeste. There appears to be a dragon who's like flying. You can't tell if he's flying away from the castle or towards the castle. There is a figure standing like in the fore of the book who's got like, he's bald and he's wearing like a suit. And it looks like your standard, like, pulp mystery book. You don't get anything... Shaka, you don't get anything particularly magical about it. Celeste, as you're looking at the cover, the... on the cover appears to be roiling, like with like dark clouds.
Cool.
Like it's moving?
Mm-hmm.
Dope.
Like it's almost imperceptible.
Mm-hmm. So you really gotta stare at it,
mm-hmm.
see it.
Like a magic eye, but you don't go cross-eyed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I look at the others. What spells are in this book? Because the cover is moving.
Oh.
Okay.
Layla takes a... Both Layla and Amaya will kind of like move up, get up and move towards this book, and they're going to roll. They will roll with advantage because you have said it now.
I said the thing.
You said the thing. Very cool. So they see it now as well. Welcome Raiders. We love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There are no spells in this book, but Layla says, "Do you not recognize this castle?" I mean,
would we?
It was
a bad joke. History. It's for the best.
Who is she saying that to? All like just in general?
Yeah, it's just like a general question. Like, I mean, she's like, I hadn't noticed it before. This castle. Amaya takes a look at it and she's like, oh, well. Anybody here can make a history check.
That's fine. I got was going to say. 22,
yeah.
17 for me. Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Eight. That'd be a giant 3.
Oh. Look, we all have our strengths.
Oh, I get advantage, but that was a good roll. Oh, that's actually better. 20. A dirty 20.
Okay.
There you go.
Who got above a 15?
think everybody but me and Brian.
Verge.
The puzzle hounds are over here like, "Arr?"
No, it's you've definitely heard of it. You've never seen it because it's definitely not on this plane, but that's definitely Castle Ravenloft.
I grab a fork from the table and I poke the cover.
Oh my god.
I swear to god, if Gazzard disappears.
You don't disappear, but make a dexterity saving throw.
No!
What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Remember, kids, don't poke strange books.
My brain just
took it. It's a natural 20 on that save.
Excellent. So
I have a zero on that. Yeah, that's perfect. That's thank
funny.
You. Ooh, baby.
So you notice that what you did not notice is that the fork that you were about to poke the book was definitely used. And so you dart your hand out of the way as Layla is about to smack your hand, like, don't put forks on the books.
Oh right. Oh.
Ooh.
Oh no.
Sorry.
You broke rule number one of candle keep.
I've done the
don't eat the books.
Maybe I didn't want to put my hand in it. I wanted to do you have a pen? Do you have a long stick? Like,
I mean,
come on.
You could have just touched. I mean, she was holding the book. Both she and Shaka were holding the book.
But were they touching the cover? Were they touching the like part of the picture that was roiling? I think that was like is there like a border around the picture? Is there like,
yes, there's a very elegantly gothic border around the
and this is like how it's been held, like it's by fingertips.
Yeah, no.
Layla, Celeste would have smacked your hand if no one else did, because she would have recognized it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so oh my gosh, everybody is rating us. Look at this.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh my thank gosh.
What
very fun.
Oh, that was like four raids in a row. Holy cow.
So much love.
So much love. Thank you so much. But yeah, no, they both touched. Like, you know, you weren't looking for this. So it's totally like you're just going to handle the book the way you would. They both have touched the part of the book with the roiling clouds, and they were not transported to another realm.
But
we still have another episode after this one.
Yeah, yeah. We still have an hour left. So.
Oh, goodness.
So that's Ravenloft, clearly. Do you have any other gateways to that? Is there a pocket dimension here that leads to it?
No.
Oh, God, I hope not.
So Celeste chimes in, do you not know that Ravenloft is a prison? Did we learn nothing? Last month, last season,
last whatever.
No, Gazik turns is like, honestly, I don't know much about anything besides our plane. You know, like I'm a druid of Icewind Dale of the Arctic Circle. Like my concerns have been of this world and what happens on it. So yes, I've heard the word Ravenloft. I know of its tales, but I don't know. I point to Shaka. Shaka's been to Avernus, guys. Most of you have been to, like, scary places before. It doesn't seem impossible.
So Avernus is a walk in the park compared to Ravenloft.
Ooh. Okay, good to understand for scale. That's good to understand.
Oh, no, not physical scale, just that I would like to think we're all nicer than people that get sent to Ravenloft, but look at what's happened to us. Mm. I mean, Shaka came back a narc, so he's prime Ravenloft material.
Mm. Oh, okay.
If y'all want to send me in as a, you know, get you some info.
No.
I don't know what'll happen if you do go to Ravenloft.
Do we? Go ahead, Shaka.
I would like to, so I know we've been focusing on the cover.
Uh-huh.
I want to look on like the inside of the book, though. That was actually my intention, was to look through the pages and see if there was maybe either a page that looked more worn than the others, if there was like a dog-eared thing where there was like a page that was kept track of, you know, like something where I can tell if there's a section of the book that was visited more often than
Sure.
Other parts.
And is it normal for historical fictional novels, mystery novels, to have
magic covers?
No, maybe perhaps this author just wanted to enhance the cover.
Ooh.
So it's a special
it's like an enhanced CD. Like
they were just flicking through the Instagram filters, like, okay, all right.
Yeah, I was like, no, this is an enhanced CD.
Shaka opens the first page where it says where it would say in a modern book, like the how many printings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This one says special Arcana edition.
Ooh. Yeah,
yes,
collector's edition.
Exactly, which is why it is here, and it says one of 666.
Oh yeah.
Let me get my Mylar bag out before we actually get some tongs before we inspect this thing.
Hold on. Special Arcana edition number 001 of 666.
Oh goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, so can I roll another investigation, I guess?
Yeah,
on the
absolutely.
Page, the actual content of said book. Get a 24.
A 24? Sure. This book, like, you flip through it really, really quickly. Like, you are seeing, like, stereotypical mystery tropes, vampires, werewolves, mists, strange carnivals. Oh, More like words like, you know, Barovia and the various other planes that inhabit Ravenloft. And then there is one page, both. There's one page that is the header to it. It looks like a almost an artistic drawing of like a wood carving of a diary entry that says, you know, this is from someone who has actually been to Ravenloft and come back, allegedly. You can see that it's there is a slight crease in this book where you can tell that somebody had been reading, has read this page a lot.
Lisa's like, fake news.
Okay, so this page, it just, like you said, the main feature from this page is it seems like it's authored from someone that has, or like purported to be from someone that has been here and telling their adventures.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know how some of the really awesome books that we read as kids had the pictures in the middle?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that.
Oh, I see. So is it similar to someone? So, well, I like turn to the party and say, well, this seems similar to someone that we know has written a book that claims to be about their adventures. I don't know if there's a connection, but it seems strange.
Are you trying to say that Rin wrote this Ravenloft book?
No. Well, I mean, to be honest, I mean, it's not completely out of the
realm of possibility.
Out of the realm of circumstance. He did propose a lot of books during our adventures together. I want to turn to Amaya Mills and say, are you familiar with the author of this book?
Amaya takes the book and looks at the front cover, and I didn't come up with a name for this author. She says, no, I'm not familiar with this author. And Mills says that she is, but only in the sense that her father really likes this person's book.
Okay. All right, so it's not like somebody that's known or somebody that, you know.
They're like they have a small cult following.
Okay, small cult following of one.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, okay, so now we have two avenues of investigation. We have the pocket dimensions here in Candlekeep, And we have this book about Ravenloft, which is only a clue because he enjoyed it so much. But even if that is where he is, we don't. Does anyone know how to reach that particular realm?
I can plane shift.
Do you have a? Are you able to shift? To I have heard. Look, I have never wanted to visit, but I've heard that this is a particularly difficult to access location.
I mean, maybe with the cover, if this is like a totem to focus on, but given by what you are saying, I can't get us there and back. If we go, we're going to have to be there for a day before we can, yeah.
So this speaks to my point, which was going to be, this is interesting and terrifying. I think we should go ahead and make a move on searching the demiplanes here and ticking that off. Because as Gazrick has pointed out, it's a bit more of an ordeal and possibly a one-way trip if we have to resort to the Ravenloft angle.
Yeah. I think there's something here. I don't know if we have to go to a whole nother plane. I mean, I guess if we don't have any other leads here, but I don't know. I get a sense that there's still some more stuff here to unveil.
Celise leans forward and just puts a hand on the book. And she looks very serious before she looks up at you all. While Gazrick could planar shift, there's no guarantee that he'd get us to the right place in Ravenloft, in the Dread Realms. However, the mists could take us there at need, if we need to get there badly enough.
Make an Arcana check for me, with advantage.
Oh, I have advantage anyway.
Okay.
Triple advantage.
So that's a dirty 20. Let's see if I can do any better.
Very cool.
No, I'll take that dirty 20. The other one was only a 10.
Okay. So when you place your hand on this book and you begin talking about how to get to Ravenloft and the mists and things like that, what you also know about plane shifting is that you need, in the general sense of the spell, you would need a tuning fork that is attuned to that plane. And you're pretty sure that Gazrick doesn't have that, but you're also really, really unnerved by the energy coming from this book.
Kent so desperately doesn't want to go to Ravenloft. He's just trying to encourage any other angle.
I mean, we do have another episode out of character. Celeste just lets her hand kind of hover over the book at this point. She looks up at the rest of them. It's an option. I mean, going to Ravenloft pretty means I may not ever get reconnected with Tyr. Because Tyr is not one for that Ravenloft life, just letting you know that right now. Mm-hmm. But this book disturbs me.
So, I may not be able to, reliably get us to Ravenloft, but if Celeste can get us there, I could reliably get us back to Faerun. That's I'm not worried about. I know this plane. I don't even know if this is true, but Gazrick thinks it's true. Sure. He's like, I'm really confident. He's like, no, I can get this back here. I know the land. I know that someone has to, the sure fear of duo manning my stall for infinity would drive me back. I promise you.
Oh my goodness.
There is no power greater in the universe than a substandard workforce.
I mean, if there's no other thing to do, I guess We could try it. I still think we could do some investigation of that goopy.
Goopy McGoop.
But, you know, I'm willing to roll with the way that the team wants to go.
I would suggest one mystery at a time. We are already in the here and now, relatively speaking, and it seems like the problems are here within Candlekeep. We still haven't determined if there's a way to even safeguard the people we're looking at from being replaced, removed, or whisked away to some other plane. Thinking about poor Mr. Tallow, it seems like we need to figure out what's going here. Virgil says after a pause, or leave.
And Virgil makes just it. Like, oh, go, no, you go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
Now Sleece just looks up at him. What if they're related, though, leaving and protecting these people? Because what if, as much as we may not want to go there, what if the way to fix this lies in Ravenloft?
You say, Selyse, that the best way to get there is by needing to be there. So
yes.
Well, it feels like the first step of that investigation is sort of not on us.
No, the mist could arrive at any point to take us there. If we have great enough need, or if for some reason we're deemed not worthy, but appropriate for Ravenloft.
So, let's make sure that we know that death is our ultimate option. Then, in the meantime, we have a pirate ship and a dragon.
Have a Nautilus building. You have, I'm gonna call it a compass building because it's not really like, it's not exactly a compass, but it's like two weirdly shaped triangles that are shaped like this and then shaped like this. So it's like it's like a six-pointed star type of thing. And then you've got the dragon.
Cool. So there's three locations. Perhaps.
Yeah, let's check these out.
We can split up and, at the very least, scope it out and then report back if we find anything worthwhile.
I don't disagree with Solis's point. It simply seems that we would do best before leaving to confirm that there is nothing yet to find here.
Exactly.
Fair enough. Layla says, I can put some of the runners on, I'll say demiplane duty. She and Amaya exchange glances. There are quite a few buildings to explore, quite a few demiplanes to investigate, and should they find anything, I can get word to you all.
That would be appreciated. And if you could spare a couple lookouts on the places that we are going to search. Just to keep an eye out if they notice a lot of foot traffic in that direction.
Yes, with four main areas to explore, these four, and she points to the Avowed that are around the room, would make wonderful sentries. Perfect. So, we are going on a plane hunt.
Mm-hmm. Plane hunt.
I will. I can take the Nautilus building. I don't mind.
I'm Virgil, all about the compass.
Virgil, why don't we take the ship? It'll be like the old days.
Great.
Virgil, why don't we take anywhere but the ship? That way it's not like the old days.
No, at the very least, I know my way around ships. I'm kind of curious to see this building up close. We didn't get a tour.
Mm. Oh, do you guys spend a lot of time at sea?
I feel like something is going on in Virgil's mind right now.
Something is going on in Virgil's mind, and in Kent's mind, it's all confusion.
That simple that is his response. Yeah. That is just his, like...
Kent's just like, ugh, all right, we won't talk about it.
Cool, cool, cool.
Excellent. Well, okay, that's two locations. Is anyone else going to split the party?
I'll go with Gosser.
I'll go with Kent. No. I'll go with Kent and Virgil.
Oh, so if we're gonna
we have four
locations. So we could do two each.
Wait, like, yeah. Four?
Pirate ship.
I think we had four potentials in Candle. Yeah.
Pirate ship. Yes, the pirate ship, the compass.
The compass, the Nautilus, and the dragon.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
I'll go to the dragon.
Yes.
Dragon.
The dragon.
I'm a drag you for that.
then we can hit up the Nautilus. Sorry, the compass after the Nautilus.
Yeah, they are next to each other. Dahani, who has been eating this whole time, says that she can watch from the skies.
That would be super helpful, yes.
Okay.
And if you catch anybody, I don't know, tucking into a corner and then transforming into somebody else, don't engage, but track them. That would be very cool.
Yeah. Also, make sure you're watching and not sketching. I feel like you're using this as a reason to sketch a new.
This is serious business. I would never.
I mean, also,
wow, Shaka, prison really did change you.
Okay. Well, if you could just leave your sketchbook, maybe on the table.
Hey, I mean, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of energy to be on for the entire time if you need to sketch to get... I don't know, Shaka. I really, sometimes I do crosswords when I'm at the stall. Whatever gets you through your day.
The stall? I don't want to know.
No,
at the stall! My stall!
His merchant stall.
My merchant stall.
That's what you call it, sure.
The stall,
Your merchant stall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. This also was the character who spent most of his lunches in the bathroom.
Exactly.
In prison.
What's the phrase?
Feel comfortable.
It's not weird.
It's not weird. It's not weird. It's never weird.
All right. Layla stands up at this point and says, Winkin', Blinkin', Inky, Blinky, Pinky, Sue, please to your posts.
Nice. Are they dressed in the colors too?
They sure are.
There's one in red.
Yes.
They have like they're the avowed colors, but they have like this little special just so you know them apart. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yep, Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Sue. Mm-hmm. And they like ready break and then they go.
Like they move around. It's like woo, woo, woo.
Walk up, 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 walk up. All right, so what are you doing?
Heading to check these planes.
I don't even know anymore.
We are going to check out these locations.
Yeah. Doing it.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will start with Celise, who is going to the dragon.
Okay.
Let me pull up the map. That's not the map. That's the map. All right. So, Celise, you all leave Exaltation. Everybody leaves Exaltation. Amaya and Mills go back to Tallow and Wick just in case Thane comes back. The runners have gone running to their various places, and you all leave shortly after. So, Celise, the dragon is pretty much right across from Exaltation.
Yay, short trip.
Yay. It's going to take you just a little bit to get there. It is a big library, but as you get there, you can see that, this tower has been, Like, you see, like, you've never seen a taxidermied dragon before, but that is absolutely, one, what you're looking at, and two, it looks like it is a part of the tower. Like, the tower was built out of, you know, brick and mortar and this dragon's body.
Okay. Like, they built around the taxidermy dragon?
Yeah. Around and into and weird. Yeah. It looks cool. Like, you think it looks really cool.
My brain just went to weird places once you said in. I thought it was just around. Okay. All right. I'm gonna head into the dragon.
Into the dragon. All right. You head in and, let's see, which one am I giving you? Roll a d4 for me. It's just fine. Everything's fine.
Uh-huh. Three.
Pinky. Pinky is here.
Hi, Pinky.
Hello. I have informed the rest of the Avowed here that we are looking, if they could locate the known demiplanes, and we can get to looking, if you're all right with that.
Sure, lead on.
Excellent. So go ahead and make an investigation check, and you can make it with advantage.
Huzzah.
Pinky. Oh, and
that's one of my best stats. Yay. I'll actually get advantage on it anyway.
Ain't you special?
I am.
You are special.
That's a 24.
Ooh, awesome. Give me a second. I'm writing down Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Sue.
Mm-hmm. And Sue?
And Sue.
Clyde, it's Clyde's day off.
It is, so you all get to searching. I think, did I say the dragon had 10?
I think it's 6, I think.
Sure, like we'll say 8.
A bunch.
Many. Yeah. So you begin the process of searching through these varying demiplanes, and it takes you probably, I don't know, at least 2 or 3 hours, I'll say.
Oh, wow.
And so as you begin the search, we're going to cut to Shaka. Who went where?
Yes. I went with Gazrik. I think we were going to the...
going to the Nautilus first.
Yeah, to the Nautilus, yeah.
Okay. Roll me a d4.
Okay.
Rerolling a 3, of course.
All right, got a 1.
Okay, you've got Inky.
Good old Inky.
Because this is a Nautilus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So yes, Inky meets you at the Nautilus, and you see as you enter, the building is in somewhat of a flurry. Inky says, similarly to what Pinky said to Celise, I've informed the Avowed that we are searching the pocket dimensions for anything unusual. And, you know, they will highlight the places we should be looking, and, let's get to work. So both of you can roll investigation checks with advantage.
Cool. All right. Got a 26 and a 12.
Beautifuls.
I got a 24. Oh, and another one. And a 14.
Okay. So those high 20 rolls, fantastic. You two are super efficient looking through all of these various demiplanes. You see storerooms that are, you know, kind of like dusty with disuse. Some old leathery books, the occasional like rat who's like, this is where I've made my home now in this little demiplane where nobody bothers me. And as you all are searching, which takes kind of the same amount of time as Celise, we'll cut to Kent and Virgil.
tell me about this ship building. How much does it look like a ship, and how much is it a ship? Obviously not on the water, but like...
Of course. No, it is a ship. It is a ship that has been transported to here and placed and then Excellent. Turned into a building.
Excellent.
Okay.
I am delighted.
So many questions about Candlekeep infrastructure right now. Where we got to need him.
Roll me a d4, re-rolling 1 or 3.
Oh.
Either one of you. Doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. Blah, 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 blah. I completely got that wrong. Ignoring who and how now?
Ignoring 1 and 3.
All right.
Eins and 3.
Just gonna keep rolling.
That's exactly.
Keep rolling.
Oh my god, I'm gonna start rolling 1, 2, and as soon as one of us doesn't get a 1 or a 4.
No, get a 2.
Okay, there we go.
Hooray. Jeez, what this is a rule I had. What is going on?
It's okay.
See this.
It's okay, you've got Blinky.
Just give me a spinner next time, please.
Yes, I'm so sorry. So Blinky meets you all at the pirate ship. Blinky says, I don't often get to work over here, so this is actually kind of neat. I didn't think it was, I knew it was really a ship, but they look so weird off the water, don't they?
Yes, most ships do.
Kent is just watching Virgil now that we're on board this ship.
So it's actually, as you approach the ship, it is a massive ship that has been... Basically, it has been turned into a ship-shaped building.
Okay.
So, you enter it through... Caught me off guard.
Yes.
Yeah, you enter it through the bottom of the hull where a door has been placed.
Uh-huh.
And it looks just like your standard building. Aside from the fact that it is a ship. So Blinky follows you all in, and you all got there at the same time. So he didn't have time to alert the Avowed that we were demiplane searching today. So he goes in, and Blinky, he approaches an Avowed in like white robes and says, we have been given authority from Layla over in Exaltation to search the known demiplanes on the ship. And this white-robed gentleman says, he gathers the Avowed and is like, he pulls out like a scroll that, shows where, at least where they think they know that they are. And he like looks at it and he like folds it back up and then he puts it in his robes. And he says, yes, I will I will have the Avowed get those opening for you. So you two can make me investigation checks with advantage as well.
Alrighty. All right. Oh, that's a 19.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Mine's a natural 20 plus.
Oh my goodness. That 20 held out and then flipped over to the 8. So
that's why I can't watch out this time.
We'll just go with the 19.
Yeah.
All right. Kent is on it and Virgil is along for the ride.
Much like our normal relationship dynamic.
Kent so tries really hard to make it seem like everything he finds Virgil found, because he really is enjoying seeing Virgil back on a ship, even if Virgil isn't.
This is so nice. But yes, you all are searching in your various locations. And Sue, lonely Sue, who went to the Compass building without all of you. And is like just waiting outside for somebody to show up. waits outside for about 15 minutes before heading inside. And
I'm so worried for Sue. She's rolling so many things, y'all. You can't.
I know. I'm worried.
I'm doing anything over here.
I'm like, I'm hearing them thump. I'm seeing the virtuals. I'm just like, oh,
Sue.
Everything's fine. So you all are searching your individual places, and you all come upon this at the same time.
Oh, good.
The four. Is it four? Yeah, it's a four person camera angle. Like a Zoom window. It's like I'm watching, like everybody's watching this happen at the same time.
I was going to say old school GoldenEye. Everyone's plugged in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's better because then we don't have to yell at each other. You're muted.
You all are, as you are searching, you open the doors to one of the many dummy planes in Candlekeep. And every other room has looked just about the same, full of books or full of storage, like, you know, places for storage and the things that Candlekeep has lost or lost track of. But you find it difficult to understand how Candlekeep could have lost something like this. Inside these rooms, you see what look like little cocoons. I say little cocoons. They're like humanoid-sized cocoons. roiling with whatever is inside them. You all watch simultaneously in your various places as two cocoons pop in each place and the goopy, unformed figures of two doppelgangers emerge from the cocoons. Go ahead.
I'm just like, like IRL, that's my reaction. But
I'm so sorry.
I got a heal.
But the doppelganger.
Looking at all my spells immediately.
Right? Like, so so each of this is happening where we all are. So there's doppelgangers hatching in each of our locations.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Great. Continue.
And Dahani, who watched you all go to your various places from the sky and followed Sue, has followed Sue into another of these rooms where the exact same thing is happening. But also Sue's transforming too.
I knew it. There's too many people in that room. There are way too many people in that room. Man, I knew it. Oh, God.
And you all have time to get in a physical reaction, not so much like an attacky reaction. Mm-hmm. What would that reaction be? Let's start with Sue's.
I'm calling up Witchfire in one hand and my blade in the other.
Okay. The door slams shut behind you as Pinky locks you in.
Son of a biscuit.
Gosrick and Shaka, what is your one physical reaction?
I want to like run into the room and shout at Shaka as like, shut the door behind us and begin to start wild shaping.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. Shut the door and ready a little Eldritch blast.
Okay. You don't have to shut the door behind you because as soon as you entered in, the door was shut behind you.
Yeah.
Welp.
Guys, if you're like, shut the door behind you, and Inky's like, sure.
Damn.
Ready. Gosrick and Shaka don't realize that Inky's bad.
Yeah, you need to be on the other side of it, Sushi. You don't need to. You need to step with yourself.
Oh, shit.
It's okay. We'll explain it to him afterwards. It's fine.
Oh, boy.
Brian, I'm sorry. Kent and Virgil.
Well, I was going to just step back out and close the door, but apparently, who's with us? Pinky or.
You have a Blinky.
Blinky.
We're Blinky. Right.
Did Blinky close the door?
Yes.
Ugh.
So yeah, I guess Virgil's physical reaction is like a quick backing up, and I literally, I guess, like the back of his shoulders hit the slamming door, like, and once again, a lovely, lovely string of swear words that can probably be heard extra plainerly are now emitting in this room.
I think Kent goes, ah, shit, I'm never getting you back on a ship after this.
So much for vacation.
And
yeah.
Worst vacation ever.
What did I say Tahani was doing?
Following Sue.
Getting she trapped watching, by Sue.
She watched Sue. Did she go in with Sue or she was watching Sue who also
walked in.
Transformed?
Yes. Sue transformed along with two doppelgangers dropping from these cocoony ceilings. And that's where we're going to stop for this week, everybody.
Oh, you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
These goopers.
I just, I've seen this movie.
Goopy!
Several times. I like it.
Goopy!
I love you all.
I was not ready for hatching doppelgangers.
I'm taking liberties with how they are made.
I love that.
I love
it's
it.
Perfect.
It's very fun.
Excellent.
I'm not giving you those speakers now.
Lost those speakers.
I do apologize for not giving content warnings beforehand. That was on me, and I'm really sorry about that. I will clear that up next week for certain. Because I didn't know what I was doing until it happened. I'm really, really sorry about that. I will do better next time. But I love you all. And I hope that you are having fun.
Yeah.
You love us.
Yeah. I do. I love you so much.
I love it.
That was not the birthday present I wanted, Latia.
You can get me back for this next week somehow. I don't know how, but you can.
Guys, I was going to ask you the titles of a whole lot more books.
No. Title and give me a 500-word summary. Just like, what are the major themes, the elements, you know, that's kind of...
Free paragraph report I'd have to write about this book in high school?
Oh, my goodness. Just the abstract of everything now.
Yeah. Do you think...
Oh, my goodness.
Do you think Amazing. That the use of clouds in the cover of this book was symbolic of... No, he just
it
wanted
was the
clouds.
First stock photo the publisher
this is every
could find,
this is every YouTube video reviewing a TV show
right,
now you realize
right.
Like
oh man,
oh my goodness, it's question time, everybody.
Yeah,
so as you
oh
know
my gosh.
As you know, the end of every episode we take questions for our characters, for Oops. Our NPCs, for those of us who are not physical people in front of you. Somebody got it? Somebody beat me.
No, what is it?
Wait, what is it?
Right, we both tried.
It's right.
Oh, my entire goodness. I'm so sorry.
I did the same thing.
We're trying.
It's okay. We need a command list. Yes, give us your questions while I apologize profusely to my players for scaring the crap out of them.
No.
It's just a whole lot of like, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
That was fun.
I'm going to ask this one first. Question, who needs a hug and a vodka?
Don't
can I have a hug and a mimosa?
Yeah. It depends if I can light the vodka and use it as a Molotov against then I'm good.
I'll just blast the bottle of vodka.
That's the best cocktail. Honestly, that's the best cocktail sometimes.
Wait, I want this to be Shaka and Kent's fastball special, is a Molotov cocktail that Shaka Eldritch blasts midair. This is great.
Yes.
Nice.
It's canon. Uh-huh. Question for Selyse. How do you know so much about Ravenloft?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
I was going to say, yes. I think that's one of them things that Selyse don't talk about.
That's why they ask. That's the point of the question.
She spent a lot of time reading books and studying. She's smarter than the average bear or fallen paladin.
Fallen paladin.
I love that you've finally established, like, y'all know Selyse spends most of her time enjoying reading.
Dream. Yeah, she's not the joyless curmudgeon you all think she is.
She just plays one on TV.
I don't think that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that either. Question for Gosrick. Is Duo manning your stall long-term really that concerning?
Yes, and I know you're wondering, oh, Gosrick, that seems a little rude. He's shown a lot of improvement, and he has. But Duo has no understanding of opening a second location, of merchandising. Really thinking about the national picture here, about the growth of the merchant stall. And it's just going to stagnate, and stagnation in business is death. So, yeah.
You want to open up other Trollsco manors?
It's a whole Airbnb service, right? with a gift shop at everyone, yeah.
It's true. We have a whole planar expansion strategy in the works.
Oh my god! Exactly.
Like, these pockets will come in handy.
Adventure is good, but we need a nest egg to retire on.
We need passive income here. Like, there you go. Income.
That's true.
I feel that. Really good.
Question for Gosrick: can you say a few words about what your merchant stall means to you?
It's the thing that ties me to people. Truly, it's when it started out, it was just me being in the woods and handling either dead carcasses or other things that the forest did not need and turning them for profit. If I kill an ice spider, I can only make so much soup out of it, and the rest has to go somewhere. And then it grew and grew, and eventually I encountered someone with the ability to create bobbleheads and a few branded merchandise here. And honestly, the sales have taken off. So the stall, to me, is what keeps me human.
Who is the person creating all of this merchandise?
We do not ask.
Yeah.
We just accept that the delivery arrives every week.
You just sign the signature.
Oh yeah. My god.
Okay.
No, Duo already tried that earlier, so I hope,
wow.
I hope you have investigated your suppliers.
You know, that might be something that we solve next season.
My whole thing is, no one has asked this question in 3 seasons. Question for Virgil. What is the deal with you and ships?
Virgil kind of does the long stare just off for a moment.
Middle distance, gotcha.
Middle distance. Comes back and Virgil says, "There, when you feel like you don't have a lot of opportunities, but you do have the ability to read the weather and the wind and the waves, traveling on ships with perhaps undesirable crews tends out to be a fairly lucrative job, and I'm happy to have put it behind me."
But he's just so handsome when he's up there on the deck.
You get the full story on the Patreon. I don't know.
Question for Shaka. How are you taking to the, I think the question here is, how are you taking to the Narc Act? Like, are you liking this new position that you have seemed to acquire?
Yeah, so... Well, obviously, answering at Shaka. I didn't really like it at the beginning. I felt like it was an insinuation that I was doing something duplicitous. But I've kind of grown to think that it's just, you know, like the party is like they care about me, you know, and they are concerned and they're showing that stuff. So I am leaning into it a bit because I feel like I finally have a position that is, you know, that is, it's something. You know?
When we call you a narc, we mean it with love.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a love tap, you know? It's great.
Love tap.
I don't think those are what you think they are.
Nasty.
Oh my goodness. We have very unique group roles here in the Rivals.
Mm-hmm.
All right, last call for questions before we do outros and send our love and appreciation to someone. Someone else.
The finale.
With this chaotic energy someplace else.
I know, right? You deal with it.
Let's put it over here. Oh, my goodness.
All right.
Well, I don't think we have any more questions, so let's go ahead and do some outros, starting in our reverse order with Masood. And who are you? Where can we find you? What are you doing this week?
Hey guys, I'm Masood. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Marudboy, MaHRUDBOI. And you can find me this week, I'll be back next Sunday with these wonderful folks with Raffles of Waterdeep for our finale of Season 9. On Tuesday nights, you can come check me out on the D&D Twitch channel where we're playing Generation Fantasy, a homebrew 5th edition campaign designed by me and my friends over at Indoor Recess, sponsored by Roll20. And then on Wednesday nights, come stick around for Monster of the Week with Stir Friday Night. I'm the GM for this campaign with a collection of Asian American comedians and actors who have been a part of this historic troupe. We do a lot of good stuff. We're telling really great stories. And we're talking about what goes bump in the night from a supernatural perspective in our backyard in Chicago. So it's a good time. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, the VODs are online. But yeah, that's mainly where you can find me. All things can be seen on twitter.com/Marudboy.
Excellent, excellent. Eugenio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Eugenio. I'm DM Jazzy Hands. You can find me on the Twitters at DM Jazzy Hands. Let's see, where can you find me this week? You can find me Tuesday and Thursday here on Twitch on my channel, twitch.tv. twitch.tv/DM Jazzy Hands. We are playing some DLCs for Dragon Age Inquisition this week, so if that's your jam, come on by and hang out. We're just about done with it, though, so we're gonna have to start a new series soon. We've been playing the Dragon Age series for like almost the entire time I've been an affiliate, which is almost a year now. So we gotta find something else.
That's awesome.
It's great, though.
It's been a blast. So come hang out there. Next Friday is session 2, the finale of Requiem for a Cluet, a spooky 10 candles, just two-shot adventure in the Cluniverse, which is a little spooky universe that we have created over on Lisa Penrose's channel. So you can come check out me and Lisa, TK, and Friday Elliot. TK Johnson and Friday Elliot this Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific for that finale. If you want to get caught up, the first episode's just 2 hours and is on Lisa's YouTube. And what else? And I have a podcast, a D&D podcast, actually, where season 7 also has to do with ooze and goo and people not being who they appear to be. So, although that's where the similarities end. So you can check us out. The show's called The Last Refuge at DND Last Refuge on the Twitters.
Awesome. Brian.
Hi, I am Brian. I'm Urban Bohemian, Urban Bohemian everywhere, 3 days a week, Sunday, Tuesday, and Saturday normally on Twitch. Later today, in just about 3.5 hours, I'm going to be over at twitch.tv/Dazbiff at 6:30 p.m. Eastern for our Everything in Moderation panel. The work that goes into streaming, it's going to be me and Dazbiff and Space Valkyries and the Proud Owl talking about all the stuff that happens so the stuff that you see looks amazing. And then let's see, next Saturday, April 10th, I'm going to be in an epic level 20 charity one-shot for World Builders. I'm going to be also there. I'm kidding. I'm there with B. Dave Walters, Tanya DePass, Cypher of Tyr, Eric Campbell, Sam DeLev, and Anthony Rapp. That's going to be April 10th at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/BDaveWalters. World Builders is an amazing charity leveraging the power of geeks. So it's going to be awesome. I am really like super nervous and super excited to do that. And that's it.
Hell yeah.
You're going to be absolutely great. Sharif.
Hey, I'm Sharif. You can find me at sharifjackson.com. sharreefjackson.com, and Sharif Jackson on all social networks. So on Sundays, I'm here. Monday mornings at 10 a.m. Central, I GM the Kids on Bikes campaign at twitch.tv/roll20app, where we are going around some spooky old schools and all kind of great stuff like that. On Tuesday mornings, I do the video game stream here on Rivals of Waterdeep. Still enjoying Spirit Fair. I even got a nice keytar solo from one Latia, which was great. And on Thursday mornings on Roll20, I do the GM prep for the Kids on Bikes campaign, going over how to build maps and general tips on how to GM games. I had a fundraiser a couple days ago where I was like a toad in the Mushroom Kingdom, and I believe they're still taking like donations. So if you go to the Lawful Geek on Twitter, they are still taking donations for Special Effect, which is a UK-based charity for my kids with disabilities, making sure that they can get some awesome games and stuff in the UK. So make sure to check that out as well.
Excellent. And Tanya?
This week is both busy and not busy because it's like stuff on and offline. But tomorrow, if you like, we are going to celebrate my birthday with a stream and raise money for our charity Water. And we are going to have some friends over to talk about our video game thirst while we raise money for Water for charity. Eugenio is going to join us at some point. Justin Nick, Mermaid Royal, not Mermaid Queen June anymore. Glenn Angel, Little Legs Ben, and NK Jemison is going to join us too at some point. So we are going to have a fun conversation. We'll be on the front page for a little bit. And I've upped the ante to $10,000, but we also have milestone prizes from Logitech G and Blue Microphones, who were very generous and let me use a prize pack from something else as giveaways for this. So, nice. So yeah, if we hit $5,000, we give away a couple things. $10,000, we give away the rest. So if you've got any spare dollars for Water and for charity, come do that. Thursday is Black Dice Society on the Wizards of the Coast YouTube channel. I play a drow dumpier. So it's interesting. We are in full costume and B-Dave Walters is our DM. And I hope we all live because we're all level one. and Saturday, I'm in the level 20 game with Brian. And then Sunday, back here for our season 9 finale.
I'm not ready.
Right?
I
know.
I'm not ready either, and hopefully we'll know.
We just got here.
I know, but
we're all going to get gooped. But we're going to get gooped.
I don't want to get gooped.
What are you talking about? There's no gooping happening. Everything is fine.
The goopening.
My doppelganger looks better than me. I'm a file of complaint. I'm just saying.
I just had the most terrible idea of what Latia might be doing, and oh my god, I'm gonna hate you if it's true.
I also have the thought.
Yeah.
You know it's a good mystery when we all got our own theories about how you're gonna be horrible to us.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
That's usually my mile. Sorry, your outro.
That's okay. I'm just going to interrupt all of you next week.
Please do.
But I'm sorry for tearing everywhere online. But again, tomorrow, come by. Be nice if you got a few bucks to spare. Because trust me, no donation is too small to help people get fresh water around the world. Brian is also on Team Cypher and raising money and going for $5,000. So it all goes to a good cause. We have a friendly competition going on to raise money. Friendly.
And I have been your DM, Latia Jaquise, at Latia Jaquise everywhere. I have a surprisingly light week, but I've got a working graphics card again, so I may stream at some point this week. I will be streaming on Saturday because it is my birthday. I am joining this will be my first charity stream. I'm going to try and raise money for Charity Water as well. I have not decided on a goal, but, cause I'm still working out the particulars of what the heck I'm going to do. So, you know, stream hop between all of us this Saturday while we all do the things. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and apparently TikTok, which is where my Keytar videos go, as Latija Keys. So we are going to send the love over to Kelly, the opera geek, who is playing Transistor. Thank you all so much for coming along this fantastic ride with us. I'm so sad to see it end next week. But we love you all. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Peace.